Freedom Fiends. Also known as Wow. Sick Sad World.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is the Sick Broadcast from Fraud Bay, sitting this day 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic Canine Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch your cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael?
Yes, I feel it. It's wonderful. I'd be feeling it more if Derek J was here. Then it would be Sick Sad World. But I guess he decided there was something more important to do. He's probably shopping for shoes. That's what I think.
Is that possible at this time of night?
At 1 in the morning in the LibPair free market Bitcoin trade weed for shoes Bitcoin extravaganza of Keene, New Hampshire? Probably. Or the Seacoast region. Yeah. Probably.
Well, I'm sure it's available. I'm sure it's possible online at all times, but if he could be online and doing it, he should be able to be here now, shouldn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's on Open Bazaar shopping for shoes with Bitcoin.
He'll be missed, maybe.
This is the Freedom Fiends. He'll be missed. He'll be missed because I'm worried you're going to drop out, and I'd love to have a third fiend. If there are any fiends listening who are just like, man, I'd like to be on a show, just fiend in. Just fiend phone in.
Well, so, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick around. I just can't hear myself, which is just weird.
All right.
But, you know.
I know. You're going to stick around for further abuse. All right. This episode is called Bad Audio is a Hate Crime.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what it's called when you don't have cats for a year and then you get cats? It's called the Re-Beastanista.
The Re-Beastanista? What?
Well, there's something called the Reconquista, I think it's called. It's the theory that Mexicans are trying to reclaim America with population by having lots of babies. It's not really. I mean, there are actually Americans who want to do that. So it's not really a conspiracy. But people who are anti-racist liberals say that it's a conspiracy and it doesn't exist. But they actually have a website, so it exists. But
if you saw it on the internet, it must be true.
Sick Sad World people, yeah. So, bad audio is a hate crime. So, I sent you a video of a previous show playing on a local radio station here.
Yes,
sent
yes,
you a video
you did.
Of a still radio with my cat sniffing it, and you said, "Is this the re-beef?" Because about a week ago, we had a beef. You and I had like an hour long.
It was two nights long. What are you talking about?
Well, it was two. When you said re-beast, I thought you meant the third night of it. Like we skipped a night, and then the third night we had the second night, and that was what I thought you were calling the re-beef because that's what was playing.
Oh yeah, I wasn't sure. I assumed it had to be. If you tagged me and Jim, I assumed it had to be me being bashed somewhere for something. So
yeah, no, it was what was on. And I like showing people that they're actually on radio. So tonight's the re-beefanista. The re-beef. Bad audio is a hate crime. I said that in passing to you. In the first Beastanista, when I was yelling at you about your bad audio. Now, here, yes. I want to take a little aside here and feet to the fire.
Oh, gosh.
Because you haven't made good on your promise. Do you know what your promise was? Do you remember? Or do you just make promises and forget about them?
I make promises. I said two things. I said I would work on the. I said I would work on that project and try to fix it, and we're currently having other issues with that project at the current moment. And then I also said I would send Jim some stuff. Which promise you're referring to?
Well, the first one, but have you done the second one yet?
No, that's going out. I can't do it tomorrow. It's going out Tuesday.
All right, yeah, because tomorrow you can't do it because Merca.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a single firework. Have you heard, Aline?
Oh my gosh!
By now,
they started last night. Actually, they went off. Although luckily it wasn't until late in the night, like they usually do, because I do have my kids here this weekend.
I haven't heard one pop. I haven't heard. I think Casper, Wyoming, just gave up on patriotism. Good, because patriotism is what leads you to be in chains.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And we're not like, you know, anti-gun commies or anything. We're pro-gun free market people. We just think that patriotism, you know, the end game of patriotism is either Nazi Germany or actually I would say North Korea, because Nazi Germany only lasted about 10 years. North Korea has lasted 40 or 50 so far, hasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. There's been three of the three of the Uns or whatever their names actually are. Kim Jong, whatever their last name really is. I never remember the order. But yeah, there's been three generations of them, so at least that long.
Yeah, and they didn't kill people of different races or religions in North Korea because they never let any in.
This is true. Very homogenous people.
It's more about the racism against what's in your head and what you say. Like, if we were doing this show in North Korea, about North Korea, in Korean, first of all, there's no way we'd get on the radio. Well, let's pretend we were doing it as a pirate radio show. Within a day or two of doing it, soldiers would kick in our doors and murder us and bill our family for the bullet, which is kind of similar to something that happened in Douglas, Wyoming recently. We're going to talk about this later, about somebody getting murdered by government agents at a funeral, an unarmed man. And, you know, they always say unarmed, like not, like it's a crime, like being armed would give him reason to kill him. No, but he didn't pose any threat. He was a non-threat man who was murdered by federal agents.
At his father's funeral, no less.
Yeah. Yeah. Lou called it four weddings and a funeral. I corrected him and said one funeral and a funeral. You know, maybe the feds like get a kickback from funeral homes. Maybe they're doing this for money. You know, like, I mean, that's not that far-fetched. There were judges like sending, you know, minor juvenile defenders to like real prison and getting a kickback on each one. That's happened.
No, this is true. Oh, yeah. The guy in Pennsylvania was the last one. I got busted, what, last year, the year before, yep. I think?
Yep. But, so what were we talking about? Oh, yes, bad audio is a hate crime. So, I said that to you in passing. Oh, yes. The promise I want you to meet is you said you could fix that audio, and I said there's no way in hell you can. Jim Jesus said the same thing. My friend Jeff Lentz, who is a really, really, really high-end audio guy by trade, said no way, can't fix it. But you said you'd fix it, and I said I challenge you, and you did not pick up my glove after I slapped you with it. You haven't done it yet.
Of course I haven't done it yet. I said I would work on it. I haven't got a chance to do anything yet, and we lost the original file.
You lost the original file?
Yeah.
It's probably still on... what service did you send it to me? Dropbox? It's probably still there.
Yeah, we tried that. We tried sending that one back. Can't do it. Oh, it won't open.
The old murder dog ate my homework excuse. All right.
I have a team working on this, and none of us are able to accomplish that. I still have the file I could use, but it's not the original.
But that's another thing I would never do, because I always, before and after I edit anything, I keep a copy of both versions of it on two different hard drives.
But this wasn't even edited, though.
I keep the raw files and I keep the edited files on both on two different hard drives, so four files altogether.
Okay, that's fine. And I would have had them in separate places had I gotten to that point. We haven't even gotten to that point.
That's a great excuse. That's a great excuse for your bad audio. That's a hate crime. Is that you lost the homework? Awesome. Because now I can now you can say and claim, oh well, I could have fixed it.
No, I never. I see. And again, you keep making it out because you talk about all these audio geniuses. I never said I could make it sound anywhere as good as our show should
sound.
You said
you could make it listenable.
Oh yes, I said I could make it listenable. Yeah, I could definitely make it listenable.
Jim Jesus says the rolling out his new Bitcoin-powered service, Jim Jesus Bad Audio Arbitration Service. In LibPair, they'd be on every corner. They would just set up little kiosks, and like women would do it in bikinis.
Well, he wouldn't.
Because in Casper, Wyoming, there's a new business called Man Cave Coffee. It's like two hottish, youngish women in bikinis selling coffee from a little like mobile kiosk that was rolled out there on the back of a pickup truck. It's like, it's just big enough for like two women to stand in and make coffee, and you can see them in their bikinis through the windows. And this is like really upsetting, like the church ladies in Casper, Wyoming. Like they want that outlawed, literally, and they want like pot to never be legal. So, well, all celebrate America and your freedom tomorrow, remember, you don't want private industry on private property to be able to sell coffee to your husbands in panties. And,
well, That's what happens when you live in Footloose. That's apparently where you live.
Footloose. Yeah. So anyway, the reason this episode's called Bad, and you're breaking up as you're calling, which is, you know, we could blame it on Fiendphone or your internet or the Windows 10 update today, but I'm just going to blame it on bad audio. I'm going to call it bad audio. Yeah. But the reason this episode's called Bad Audio is a Hate Crime is because I said that in passing to you and completely forgot about it. And Jim Jesus picked it up and made t-shirt. He's ordered Jeff Lentz ordered t-shirts, and Jeff Lentz and Jim Jesus got together and ordered stickers, and I'm making a button. One of the Fiend Phone buttons is going to get retired, and I'm going to have a button with my face on it that says, quote, bad audio is a hate crime, unquote, and MWD. And it's a really angry-looking picture of me on a good microphone. So yeah, I wanted to claim this, like this is me putting it on the blockchain, is calling this episode bad audio is a hate crime, because I don't get paid for anything, so I might as well get credit, you know? And I don't really care about credit that much. Like, I want Bipcot to become the next Bitcoin. I want it to be incredibly popular, and I don't really care that, you know, like, everyone who uses it doesn't need to know I made it up. They just need to be able to look it up somewhere. Kind of like Satoshi. I am the Satoshi of Bipcot.
This is objectively true.
Yep. So, yeah, that audio is a hate crime, people. You know, one of the funniest things I saw this week was, you know, those parody Twitter accounts we like? Mark Edge Googling is one of them.
Yes.
Okay, I guess this was a response to you guys going to G.G. Allen's grave in Littleton, New Hampshire. Mark Edge Googling tweeted, twippered, backhoe rentals in Littleton, New Hampshire. It took me a second, but only a second. I was like, oh my God, that's funny, man.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that other interview you sent me today of GG. Oh my God!
Yeah. I'll link that. That was him on fire on the Geraldo one. He was like on lewds or something. He was barely awake.
Oh yeah, I've never seen that one. But who was that? Jane Andrews or something? Whatever her name was.
I never heard of her. I wasn't watching. But in the 90s, I was busy shooting dope and playing in a rock band. I wasn't watching afternoon soap opera and, you know, talk shows.
Yeah, I'd never heard of her either. But it was very entertaining.
It was great. It was great. And then they had the club kids on. That was kind of confusing.
I did actually. You said to skip that part, but I actually just left it running in my kitchen. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, they were definitely very devout.
Them because they were defending Gigi, actually. It's kind of weird, but then they had that cop on.
Oh gosh.
And he basically said that Gigi's the next David Koresh, but yeah, and should be in prison for being himself. Yeah, here we go.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.iest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is covered by the Bipcot No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, Bipcot, Meowbit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating G.G. Allen's face.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We're live. I guess there's no ads. There's no breaks.
There's we should just do the whole show, keep going. And
we should just start talking. Over. So then I'll just yell at bad audio. Again. Now, I do want to say, like, you know, this happens every time I complain about anyone's bad audio.
Yes.
There's something that's beyond my control that makes me look bad. Like, he's talking about bad audio. He can't even do a radio show. No, this is like computers in a different state. That I don't even control. That I couldn't control if I wanted to. So bad radio is a hate crime. Whose ever fault this is, I don't know. Let's blame it on the machines. It's the Borg. It's trying to get us.
It's somebody's fault. It's got to be. Why do I keep... Oh, you're playing other stuff in the background over there?
No, I'm checking the feed, which is 30 seconds late.
Oh.
I'm checking... Well, actually, the GCN feed's about 4 seconds late. So I'm trying to see if we're actually on radio, and we are. So,
okay. Well, that's good to know.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Well, for all the trying we may or may not have done a few weeks ago to get thrown off stations, this is what's going to sink us, just the fact that...
No, nothing will sink us, man. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but see, this is just as bad as Jim talking in my other ear when you couldn't hear him and he kept throwing me off.
I put a spell on you, Jeremy. What the?
Because now this is not cool, man. Stop. You're bugging me out, man.
You're a true flashback, man.
Because I can't hear my voice in my headphones as it is. This is so trippy.
You're not hearing your voice anymore. You're hearing Screaming Jay Hawkins from 1966 from the Merv Griffin Show.
I don't know what that... Well, I was going to say I don't know what that is. I do know who Merv Griffin is, but...
This guy invented shock rock. Like, there's no Marilyn Manson without Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Oh.
He's got a bone through his nose, and he's wearing a purple cape. Well, it's black and white. He's wearing a cape. And he has a skull on a scepter, spray-painted silver or gold.
Wow. That's intense.
You don't know about Screaming Jay Hawkins?
I think I may have heard the name, but I probably didn't really look into
it much. Influence on, you know, Alice Cooper, Marilyn Manson, Gigi Allen.
Well, that would make sense. Those three seem to fit in a very similar category.
Yeah. So I've always thought that I want to be remembered for something. It doesn't even matter if I'm remembered as the guy who does it. I just want to make something that changes the world for the better. So I'll be happy if someday my grave that gets stolen says, "Here lies Michael W. Dean. He invented Bipcot." And your grave is going to say, "Here lies Jeremy Heisenberg. He inspired the phrase bad audio tape."
My legacy.
Yeah, man.
So proud.
Hey, that's more than most people do. Most people live unexamined, shallow lives, a mile long and an inch deep.
Yes. Yeah. Mine is out there for everybody to see, getting ripped apart constantly for being the one to stand up and take responsibility of some kind.
So nobody has a Bipcot tattoo yet. I think people need to get them. I'm commanding my dark army of the night to go out and start getting Bipcot logos on their as tattoos. Because some Fiend fan got a Gigi Allen tattoo, I think, inspired by us talking about him. I mean, it's somebody who was a fan of his, but, you know, like, went out and got one, like, one of the weeks we were talking about him. So I think if we have that power, we should have Gigi Allen's power. Now, Gigi Allen was psychotic. Like, he told people... I saw an interview where he said, "You should go to your local record store and tell them to carry my albums. And if you come back a couple weeks later and they don't have them, you should burn the store to the ground." That's like, he reminds me so much of Trump. He really does. Like, especially like when in that interview, like the lady asked him, like, "Well, what, you say you're great, but what makes you so great?" And he's like, "I'm the most amazing person who ever lived." Like, his answer to "Why are you great?" is "Because I say I'm great," which is kind of how Trump answers that same question, you know?
Yeah, I can see it in that respect. Trump may do some crazy stuff behind closed doors too. I don't know, but I didn't hear the interview you're referring to about the record store, but I could, based on the one interview I watched today that you sent me, I could definitely see him saying that, because, you know, he talks about, in that one he was openly talking about the fact that He's going to own your everybody's children, yeah, and yeah. they will follow him.
Sounds
and,
like a dictator.
Oh, absolutely. A dictator, a cult leader, everything.
He'd think that's it, yeah. And, you know, actually, come to think of it, the interview I saw where he told people to burn down record stores that didn't carry his records was him being interviewed by a fan with a video camera in a record store at an in-person appearance, like a record signing, in a record store that carried his records. So pretty safe place to say it.
That's that makes
sense. I didn't think about that at the time. That's racist.
No, I said that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah, he was an interesting character.
Yeah, you know, I got mugged at the corner like 2 years before he played his last show and died. I got mugged at 2nd and B, hanging out with the Anger Brothers. Or on my way to see him, I went to cop some dope outside their house. The place that he played his last show, the club called the Gas Station, was still a gas station then, though.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Punching us in now. F it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
It's the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. See, thing is, though, if we're live, yeah, we're live. I'm here on the GCN feed. Excellent. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going out on stations, because stations have their clock, their own clock, which is set to what the clock's supposed to be. This is not bad audio as a hate crime. This isn't my fault. This is bad radio as a hate crime. This is something happening like five states away from me that I've never been there. Lou's been there.
Yeah.
Lou said there was a dog there. Maybe the dog ate their homework. Maybe the dog ate their show clock.
Yeah. There you go. That'll do it.
Was that your phone?
My phone? No.
Was that the head of the network telling us that we're gone? We're kicked off the air for pointing out the problems? I'll point out the problems because we're a teaching hospital. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a note here today that my wife is DJ, Deborah Jean. We call her DJ. She's always been called DJ. I wrote down whiteout, DJ / whiteout. Need her to get some whiteout. So, and I looked at it written here, and it's a DJ Whiteout. It sounds like the name of a black nationalist record spinner. DJ Whiteout. Eliminate the white race. Black cats matter. All right. So I'm 164th black, so I can say that. So you know how we've been saying for 20 and 30 years that the government's spying on us? You've been doing that, right, Chairman?
Oh, sure, all the time.
How long have you been saying that?
Unfortunately, I was a little late to the game, but probably like mid-2000s.
Okay.
So 10 plus years.
Well, yeah, longer than it's been proved by Edward Snowden. Like you were saying it before that, right?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so... Did people tell you were crazy for saying that?
Oh, sure.
Back then?
Yeah.
Have any of them apologized to you now that Snowden proved it's true?
Nope.
Here's what that reminds me of. I was thinking today, I was trying to think of a good analogy for it. And I was thinking, the movie Independence Day has nothing to do with the fact that it's now July 4th in your time zone. But Independence Day, the movie, the character played by Randy Quaid, the insane... drunken crop duster who says aliens are real and no one believes him. After he and everyone treats him like a crackpot. After aliens are proven to be real and attacking Earth, like everyone still treats him like a crackpot because he says he has a beef with some aliens because that's how he knows they're real because he actually met them once, and that's why he's a drunk because no one believes him. So we are the Randy Quaids of Liberty. He is nuts, too. You ever see interviews with him recently?
Well, yeah. Originally, See, I was sympathetic to him originally because didn't him and his wife leave and go to Canada to evade taxes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the original thing, I thought? So, yeah.
Yeah, so people said he was nuts for that, but he also happens to be nuts, and the statists love to conflate those two things. Like, oh, he's nuts. He thinks everyone's out to kill him, and he doesn't pay taxes. Lol, that's so nutty.
Well, sure. Well, it's the same basic thing with them with in the movie with, you know, they just move the goalpost to something else, and they they attach whatever they can to make it more palatable for them, because
now they just say, you know, if you go back to those same people and say, told you, you know, they're just like, oh, well, if you have nothing to worry, you know, you shouldn't, what are you worried about? You have not something to hide, you know? I hear your kids. You ready to talk to them?
You bring them on the air. That could get messy.
Bring him on the air.
Well, unfortunately, I think one of them is crying in her sleep right now, so waking her up to bring her down here would probably actually disorientate her even more. I'm hoping she puts herself to sleep.
Yeah. Someone just wrote and said that we should get temporary tattoo, Bipcot temporary tattoos. Or he said, why not make and sell Bipcot temporary tattoos? And I said, because temporary tattoos are for puss-pusses. But I don't know. Well, I actually don't think... You know, when I was getting tattoos, like only bikers and sailors and hookers had tattoos when I started. I got my first tattoo in 1980, which like really like only bikers and sailors had tattoos in 1980. First tattoo I got cost $7. I got it at Marty's Archery and Tattoos in Jamestown, New York. It was an archery shop that did tattoos, gray market in the back room.
Wow. That's, doesn't sound very safe.
No. Why? Because it's unregulated?
Well, no.
Because the government hasn't approved it?
Well, no. Just back then, they were even less... The technique they used and everything wasn't very...
Yeah, they didn't necessarily sterilize the needles between... You know, people got hepatitis. This is pre-AIDS, mostly. But people got Hep C from...
Well, does that one still exist, or is it faded into nothingness by this point?
Hep C?
No, with your tattoo. Oh. Yes, your Hep C. Has your Hep C faded,
it's
Michael?
Still there. It's a musical note over my left boob. It's kind of blurry, but, you know, if you kind of squint, you can tell it's a musical note.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Schmidt has Hep C faded. Now, there's a cure for Hep C now, and it costs $80,000.
Whoa.
It's like 80 pills that are $1,000 each. Yeah. And it pretty much cures it. Used to be uncurable, though, and it can kill you, so people pay the $80,000. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they try to get the vaccinations for it now to babies.
For Hep C?
Yeah, or one of the Heps.
Do you vaccinate your babies?
They had some vaccinations, more than I wanted, and it was a big issue. And
Good. I'm
not very thrilled about it. I was very angry at the doctors. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
What, to vaccinate?
Yeah.
We just lost
half our audience.
Well.
I know, not all of them. I know. I don't know what happened to Derek J, man. I'm kind of worried about him. He's supposed to be on tonight. Bless his little homo heart. Where is he?
I don't know.
He's probably out shoe shopping.
Well, could be, but I have
a story about shoe shopping.
Oh, do you?
Would you like to share it? Jim Jesus, if you want to make temporary tattoos, just Google custom temporary tattoos. There's a bunch of people that make them.
Well, seems like
something Jim would do.
Well, Jim could jump on it, but I was going to say, why doesn't the person who suggested it to you jump on it?
Yeah.
Why don't you do it?
Why don't you make Bad Audio as a Hate Crime and Bipcot and sell them temporary tattoos? I mean, that's how the Bipcot social contract works. Basically, anyone who's not a government or government agent can use our high-res art to make what you want, promo wise, and sell it and keep the money. So, and if you send us a few of the items, we'll promote them for you. So there. I will change my tune on temporary tattoos if there are Bipcot tattoos and I don't have to make them. And I guess my answer of why don't I make them, which is what the question was, why don't I make them? Because I don't make any money at this show. And last week, I had to actually beg for money to pay some expenses for this show. And this guy was one of the guys. So he should understand, why don't I make them? Because I don't have the money to do it. Why don't you make them, JP, and sell them and keep the money? Worms.
Seriously.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's my issue with the couple of Bipcot projects I wanted to get started. I'm lacking the startup capital at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you could put them on your kids. You can't. It's very G.G. Allen to actually tattoo your kids.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I'm not going to tattoo my kids. I was talking about cut things I wanted to create. But
yeah, that's the only, you know, anybody who wants a real Bipcot tattoo should just get one. Unless they're, you know, five, then temporary tattoos are good.
Yeah, except for my kids, because they're very sensitive to those things. They love them, but they put them on half an hour later, they're screaming for me to take them off.
About that. I was wondering, like, you know, like...
I know kids that, I don't know, I know kids that have worn them for, like, days with no issues. My kids just have sensitive skin, so, like...
It depends who makes them, and, you know... I've never actually been to a baseball game. The fresh air gives me hives. That's my spirit animal. It's who's the filmmaker that made like the 27 part series on baseball and jazz and Bridge?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. Yeah. There's a Simpsons where Homer's watching like NPR because he can't find the remote. It's the one where he ends up being a Christian missionary.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
And ruining a country with gambling and alcohol. Yeah. But an island paradise. But yeah, I like that one. Craig and Amy, the missionaries are leaving. See ya. Don't let the bugs bite. Seriously. But Homer on PBS, one of the things is, and now Ken Burns with a documentary about Ken Burns. And it's Ken Burns being interviewed and saying, I've never actually been to a baseball game. The fresh air gives me hives. And speaking of people like that, Derek J's probably out shopping for shoes. No, he likes the outdoors. But I hired a guy off of some local job board here. It wasn't Craigslist, something like that. It was actually a Facebook. It was like Casper Jobs. And I hired a guy or got a guy to come do yard work for me. I actually finally got a guy after this ordeal. So don't call me. I have someone taking care of this. But I need to get yard work done because I'm too sick to do it. And like everyone's yard looks nice and mine looks like hell. And one of two things is going to happen because I have like 4 foot weeds in my front yard. Either the neighbors are going to lynch me or the city is going to like put a lien on my house because they literally like give you tickets for that in this town and they will accrue until they will take your home. So call me a bad anarchist for not fighting that. But, you know, I'd rather spend $100 once a year and get the yard taken care of. So usually I used to do this, but I'm too sick. So I hired this kid to do it. He said he'd do it for $10 an hour. And I'm thinking like, that's pretty cheap for like pulling weeds and spraying weed spray in like 90 degree heat. Like, does this kid know what he's getting into? And he's like, he said, no, I'll get my address. He said, when he'd be here, you know, he said he'd be here between like 1:30 and 2 on a certain day. And 2 o'clock rolls around. Still not here. 2:15 rolls around. And like, keep in mind, like I'd slept like 4 hours that night. And I was losing sleep to be up to wait for him, literally. Uh-huh. And I drank a bunch of coffee because I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to be up all day while he's working here. So, you know, I'll sleep tomorrow. I'll drink coffee and sacrifice to be able to do this. So it's kind of a hardship for me. You know, I have bad health and I need my sleep, my beauty sleep and my health sleep. And I stayed up and waited for him. And like by the time he's supposed to be there between 1:30 and 2, I called him at like 2:30 and said, hey, buddy, you're late. Let me know if you're, you know, I hope you're okay. And his answering machine said, like, it sounded like this. It was like, hi, this is Garrett. Oh, his name's Garrett, by the way, if you're thinking of not hiring people in Casper. And he said, hi, this is Garrett. I'm probably out shopping for shoes. And then, like, when he was an hour and 40 minutes late, like I called him again and said like, okay, forget it. I hope you're okay, but don't come by. I'm going to get someone else. I think what happened is he's someone who's not used to hard labor and just thought, oh, I could do yard work for $10 an hour and buy some shoes. And I think he like drove by my house, looked at the yard and went, ugh, and kept driving.
That's quite possible.
But I got another guy that's going to do it for $15 an hour, which I can't really afford, but I can't afford not to.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I have to. Well,
yeah,
I have to stay up on my yard. I have to stay up on my yard because they have the ridiculous laws. But you know, it's like a homeowner's association.
They'll hang you.
Yeah, they're not very thrilled about not taking care of stuff. Although luckily my neighbor is cool about it, because I hadn't even realized that there's a foot wide section between the fence that runs between my neighbor's house and mine and my garage. And I haven't been on that side of the thing for a while, and I didn't realize there had been a bunch of overgrowth. And luckily my neighbor wasn't like a horrible person and call like the town on me. She just asked me if I would take care of it first, and I gladly did, which was nice. And I wish more people would do that.
I know. Here they just... My neighbors would just call the cops. But it's also a very quiet neighborhood because they're all persnickety, so it's a trade-off.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Two in the morning.
In your yard.
It's 2 a.m.
Get off my lawn.
And say, get off my lawn, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where these kids have come from. I never had this problem before.
So, JP wrote back and said, okay. You know, to my temporary tattoos are for, you know, pusses. He said, let's create and sell BIPCOT branding iron kits. Those are for real men. I agree.
Okay. You've redeemed yourself, JP. Yeah.
Especially if he gets one.
Not only get the kit, but brand yourself. Then we're talking.
Yeah, brand your kid. Well, there's actually... made a meme of a kid, of a baby with a BIPCOT tattoo on its head. Do you remember that?
I did see that, I think, yes.
Yeah. Actually, it was, I know who did it, and he sent me a draft of it, and we went through like 5 different versions of it until it was just right. So I did have something to do with that.
Well, see, I don't know about babies, but I probably will get a BIPCOT tattoo at some point. I do have 2 others that need to come first that I've been putting off, unfortunately. So,
what are they?
I don't have the money. I've wanted to get one for my kids since they were born. I just haven't gotten around to getting it yet. I don't have anything definitive picked out. I have some ideas, but that's the first one. Once I get some money, that I have to get. And then I do want, I did want some kind of reference to freedom on my body, so there's an abolitionist design that I've been sitting on for a couple of years now.
Isn't that weird thing with the arrows that looks like a cave painting?
No, I don't know.
The manumission one that some people have. You've seen that?
I don't know about that one.
It's kind of trendy. It's kind of popular. Like, yeah, manumission is the term for slaves returning to becoming free. And there's a pictograph that means manumission. If you search manumission image, it'll probably come tattoo.
I have to look that up. No, this is an abolitionist, an actual abolitionist logo that somebody created. That's like the anarchy peace sign, all kind of together with abolitionist in the middle of it.
I don't know what that is.
Well,
explain why you're an abolitionist. I thought that's the people that wanted to end slavery. We already did that with the 13th Amendment.
Well, I do want to end slavery, except I want to end all forms of slavery, not just chattel slavery, which actually does still exist in some parts of the world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I'm for
all... What kind of slavery you want to end, man?
Well, I'm not a big fan of tax slavery. Would like to get rid of that. Just being in a coercive system as we are is a form of slavery as far as I'm concerned, because you're giving up your money and giving up, you know, your wealth and what you create, your time, energy, and effort for other people. So,
I searched manumission tattoo on Google Images, and for some reason I'm getting all these like sexual slavery.
I can't imagine why.
And one of them is Pleasure Island. A naked transsexual sits on the bar. No. I didn't sign up for this. I'm out shopping for shoes. All right. So,
It's going to be my new excuse.
Yeah, for everything. I was out chopping for shoes. Sorry, my audio is a hate crime. I was out chopping for shoes.
There you go. Yeah. Can I go? Yeah. I can go back and retroactively edit those shows, right? I'll go fit those in. That'll be my new excuse.
Yep.
Actually, yep. anybody who knows me would know that's a ridiculous statement because I have the same shoes for years and years. Yeah, I literally wear holes through the bottom of them before I consider getting rid of them.
Yeah. So what do you think of Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton?
Well, Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yep.
Bernie's a liar, a socialist, and he smells like mothballs and tinkle.
Yep.
Hillary's a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit just smells awful. And yep.
Like mothballs and tinkle.
She's getting up there, so that would be. I mean, there's other things too, but yeah, we could throw those in there.
Man, that's ageist and sexist. That's funny.
Yes, it is.
I find it amusing.
And the Trumpster. Well, let's see. He's a liar, a socialist, and his hair smells like well done steak. Is that how it goes?
Burnt steak.
Okay, even worse. Well, I thought he liked well done steak.
Said well done steak, but I think it looks more like burnt steak.
Well, it looks more like some kind of Muppet or of some sort, but that's not neither here nor there.
Some weasel. Yeah.
Hey, that's disparaging to weasels, and I'm not sitting to tolerate that, sir.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back after this trip to check on the kids.
Yeah, on the kids. All right. See if I find my audio.
Yeah.
Prove it to them way somehow.
Yeah. Bad audio is a hate crime.
Maybe I can hear something in the second hour. That'll be exciting.
If what? Drinking beer? You'd have your kids drinking beer and getting tattoos?
Oh, please. I am not. No, I did not say that.
Okay.
That's all I need.
I couldn't hear you. Your audio's not great.
CPS is going to be knocking on my door.
I know.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Yeah, there, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Can you hear yourself?
Nope.
On the Freedom Fiends?
No, I
you
can't.
Do the intro. Please.
Sure.
Dance, slave, dance. Scott, okay. Seize him.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
More
at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So we are back here. Bad audio land.
Kind of a new
bad
thing.
Radio land.
Yeah. It's kind of a new thing having a lot of people not just criticizing the government, but criticizing government. It's a new thing. And statists don't really know how to wrap their heads around it. You know, the people that get all wet on July 4th, the people that celebrate freedom by getting random searches by their local police department and not being able to use fireworks legally. That's how they celebrate how free they are. George Washington would have killed those people. I'm not the people celebrating, but the people stopping them from celebrating. Although the founding fathers really liked not only owning people, but also using the police and the military against their philosophical enemies, you know, so they're kind of like Trump, They're kind of like Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Washington killed Americans. George Washington killed American veterans of the Revolutionary War a few years later for not paying a tax that was higher than the tax they'd fought the war over. And it was a tax on whiskey, which he wanted a monopoly on because he was a whiskey producer. So,
yes,
man, those people were not, they were far from perfect, and they were tyrants, man.
Yes, they were. And the worst part is the majority of the death and destruction that took place of the Whiskey Rebellion was after the people had already pretty much surrendered and said, okay, yeah, we're not going to bother fighting anymore. Oh, yeah. Because we're outnumbered. And then
tyrants always murder their enemies after they surrender.
Well, at least from my understanding about it, that was like Hamilton's push because he was so, and he was the one who pushed to have them sent
the
there.
Worst.
No, he was. I mean, I've said it before. I think I've said it on the show before. I mean, people looked at, you know, Hamilton, Washington, all these guys. Washington, by his own admission, was not a very smart man and let people like Hamilton make most of his decisions for him.
Yeah.
And Hamilton was definitely the worst.
Ronald Reagan, you know, kind of jovial and likable and slightly brain dead and let his more talented underlings make it run his empire.
Yeah.
That's weird. That thing we read the other day.
Politics
by John Scalzi.
Yeah. I used to think that, but I'm not saying
Reagan didn't have any blood on his hands.
Oh, no, he definitely did.
He also created the Taliban.
Well, essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Through the use of the, what was it, the Mujahideen?
Arming the Muj against the Russians.
Yes. Yeah. But what I was going to say about...
You know, the Muj should have been armed. I mean, the Muj were freedom fighters being destroyed on their own land, you know, by a much more advanced civilization. It was like they were, you know, the Russians were dropping bombs from jets on Afghanistan. And, you know, Charlie Wilson... with Reagan's help, through the CIA, through Israel's help of all people, got some RPGs, some Stinger missiles, some heat-seeking Stinger missiles to the Muj, and they started blowing Russian jets out of the sky. And, you know, nobody's ever won in Afghanistan. I mean, going back to, like, Alexander, like, it's a weird no-man's land where no army can win. Like, armies have always come in and occupied, but they've always been beaten by, like, people with sticks and rocks in caves.
Yeah, basically. Because that entire region is built for guerrilla warfare and asymmetrical warfare and stuff. It's not built for the standard army, like any form of standard armies. It's just not, with all the mountains and all the, you know, the deserts and everything. It's just not.
That's kind of true anywhere. Like, you know, Americans love to celebrate freedom fighters, like their own freedom fighters, but it's like, you know, they hate it when other countries do it. And
the real thing
is, like, you know, an army being attacked on their own land is going to fight to the death. Whereas, like, a professional army like you have in America, where people do it for a paycheck, like, let me ask you this, okay? People who are in the military, like, how many people in the U.S. military would still fight if the paychecks and food stopped coming for 2 months? A few would, but not many.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. I mean, yeah, of course, there's those dedicated individuals who really think they're fighting for country, you know, freedom and country and all that stuff. And
fight for Wall Street, man.
Well, yes, but I said they think they are. Those people who stick around.
I'm telling them because they're listening.
Yeah, but there's definitely a great number. I mean, I know people personally that went in specifically for the money, for the college, you know, for the
Lou,
GI program.
Alexander Fien, one of our co-hosts.
Yep.
Did that.
Yeah, plenty of people did.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not about that desire.
And he was a cook in the Army. So, Lou, thank you for your food service on this July 4th.
Yeah. Oh, I can thank Lou for his food service now because I actually got to eat it.
Because you've had it.
Yes, great. It was wonderful.
He's a good cook. He has an assault kitchen.
Yes, he does. And he can whip up things that in a pinch that are quite wonderful.
He can turn a weasel and some salt into a 5-course meal. Porcupine.
He's the MacGyver of culinary skills.
Yes, he is. I've eaten at his assault kitchen. It's quite wonderful. You know, another one was the Viet Cong, and like, boy, we're gonna lose, you know, stations. I'm not praising the Viet Cong. I'm just saying, like, look how far they fought with primitive weapons on their own territory. You know, the U.S. hasn't won a war. I guess they won World War II sort of, and then killed, and then bombed the Japanese after they surrendered.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they won, because they came in very late.
Came in at the end of the parade, or jumped in the front of the parade and waved the flag.
Dropped some bombs, and then after it was over, firebombed some cities.
Raped some German women.
Yep.
I know what you did, Grandpa. Not my grandpa, but, you know, some grandpa. The greatest generation.
Yeah.
The rapist generation. Man, burn me down for this.
Well, but it's unfortunately, I mean, I've heard plenty of those stories too. But even if you leave that part out of it, the so-called greatest generation is also the one that allowed the FDR. Majority of the extended tyranny that took place even before that.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah,
but FDR,
all of them. FDR, Wilson, Wilson before that, all of those people. The greatest generation was supposed to be between World War I and World War II. Those guys, yeah, no. Sorry.
Yeah.
You guys all screwed up.
This is Scott Horton did a series called Everything is Woodrow Wilson's Fault. Kind of is.
Yeah, there's a lot that can be attributed to his presidency, at least, the things, the Federal Reserve, the income tax, those two things right there.
Although, I don't know, I take it back to George Washington.
Well, it starts with him. He did there was the...
And you know who's following in his footsteps is Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants consequences for GOPs who don't endorse him. Did you see that headline?
No, I missed that one.
They're like, gods, seize them! Yeah, let's see. Just when you thought the infighting was over, this is from NBCNews.com, Donald Trump once again is taking on former Republican rivals and traditional conservative allies. The GOP's presumptive nominee, less than 3 weeks in the party's convention, told a crowd on Wednesday he isn't happy with some of his former rivals not endorsing him, and the way he sees it, there should be consequences. He calls them sore losers, and he says they should never be able to hold public office again. That's like Hitler stuff, man.
Wow.
If you don't endorse me, you're out of politics. Like, that's Hitler in 1939, not Hitler in 1943.
Or
1937, maybe.
Yeah, that is pretty brutal.
Yeah, screw that guy, man. I'll say it right now while it's still legal to say it before he... I'll still say it after it's illegal, but then he'll say, "Gods, seize him!"
Before President Trump bans the...
Free speech.
Yes. Yeah, do not speak ill of President Trump.
Free speech. Yes. Because I'm amazing.
Free speech. I'm so tired of hearing about free speech. You want to talk about ticking people off. Forget your free speech. Free speech doesn't exist. That's a government concept.
Yeah, it does. It kind of does. It's kind of the only freedom you really have left.
But it's a government thing, man. There is no such thing as free speech, because you can't walk into my house and say whatever you want. I'll knock you the heck out. You can't walk into my place of business and do it. It's only in public spaces.
Free speech in public spaces. Yeah, the First Amendment, like, a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of these kids today, they're like, you turned me in on Google for hate, for saying that Trump should be killed. You violated my free speech. No. Basically, First Amendment is supposed to protect you against the government, period. Not against other people on private property. So it's supposed to protect you against the government, sort of, for now.
Yeah.
I think the only reason they're letting us do this on radio, and I really think they are letting us do it on radio, is so there will be an audience on radio, so when they declare martial law and take over radio, which they could do with one button now, there'll be people listening.
Yeah.
Ready to go, Jerry?
No, I'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Kids cry. Yeah, if you pick them up too soon, when they start, every time they start crying, don't they end up being social justice warriors?
Yes, that's exactly how it happens.
Is it?
No.
I think it is. I think you coddle them. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There's conflicting information about that. I've always been of the theory that, I don't let them scream forever, but there are certain things that they can, especially when they get to a certain age, that they can kind of take advantage of the situation, especially with the very tired parents.
Yeah.
So
that's why you have to have like 6 or 7 of them and murder one of them in front of the rest of them. I'm totally kidding. Never. Yes, never murder your kids.
No. Well,
only if they have tendencies to be social justice warriors. I'm kidding. Don't do it.
Well. this whole thing is a new experience for me because they're
just
not.
Have your dogs bark at them. I'm kidding.
My kids usually aren't here on show nights. This is a rare occasion. So. And of course, they were great all weekend. They slept both nights perfectly. And now tonight.
It's my fault. They heard me yelling.
Well, they can't hear you yelling. They can't hear much of anything.
Oh, because you can't hear yourself. Hey, I want to thank the people that Fiend donated this past week so I didn't have to pay Fiend expenses out of my pocket. I don't mind not making money at this radio show, but I don't like losing money at this radio show. And, you know, the reason we don't make money is, one thing is, like, advertisers don't really like to buy ads on libertarian radio shows because libertarian audiences think for themselves and won't do what ads tell them to. So, there.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah! Freedom Fiends!
Yeah.
Happy July 4th, Jeremy. It's the celebration of when people sign a piece of paper. You know, I prefer to celebrate. If you're going to be put on your minarchist hat and celebrate some states, I like to celebrate. It's April 19th. I don't want to say Hitler's birthday by accident. I think that's April 20th. April 19th, 1775. You know that day? What, Jeremy? What? You there, Jeremy? You're cutting in and out.
I'm here.
Do you know that day, April 19th, 1775?
I don't. I think so. Sounds right.
Well, put it this way. Anybody who's listening and celebrating July 4th who doesn't know what April 19th, 1775 is, you're a bad American. You hear me? You're a bad American.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Thank you. No. It's the day of the first shot of the Revolutionary War. So it's like it was an action day. July 4th was a bureaucracy day. July 4th was let's draw up some paperwork. Although the Declaration of Independence is a pretty stirring, poetic. See, the thing is, it's weird. It's a declaration of war that was written after the war started. You know, back then, like, it took a while to get like the king didn't even know there was a war for like 3 weeks after it started or more because, you know, travel and ships and nobody could text him. He hadn't paid his cell phone bill, his smartphone bill, I guess.
Jeremy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. As far as that goes, I mean, that's not even the right date. They screwed that up too. The 4th.
When was it signed? Signed a bunch of days by a bunch of people, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it started on the scan wasn't actually finished until sometime later in July or maybe in August, something like that. I don't remember. And they just picked the date. I find the irony. I mean, even if you want to, you know, go with the standard story, fine. Just the irony of most people that celebrate July 4th for what they, you know, who are like rah-rah America types, most of them. You mentioned the word secession, and they'll have a heart attack. What exactly do you think you're celebrating?
They think you're a commie if he's talking about secession. Yeah, like July 4th is celebrating secession and shooting police.
And treason.
Yeah.
Destruction of public property.
Those things are good, but that's what it's celebrating. Like, the Redcoats were police. They were, people think of them as soldiers, but they were acting as police in America. You know, they were on every corner in the colonies of the cities telling Americans what to do. Americans who were British, you know. The Founding Fathers had British accents. That's a fact. So well, next time you make fun of, think you're a good American to make fun of some British person for their accent. That's what Jefferson and Washington and Madison. Yeah, they all sounded like fruity British aristocracy.
Well, of course, because none of them were born here. They were all born over there, with the exception of Hamilton, who I think was born in the Caribbean, as far as I remember.
He couldn't. Yeah, that's why he couldn't be president. He couldn't provide his birth certificate.
He was like almost, I think, wasn't he orphaned down there or something like that? No,
I don't know.
One of his parents? I don't know the story.
Speaking of loving your country, which is, I mean, just, you know, when people say, I love my country, but I don't trust my government. What are you loving? The geographic region?
Well, yeah, I hate that line too. Because
I used to say it.
I did too.
For about a week. Yeah.
But the reality is, in a country in modern parlance is equivalent to a nation state. You cannot have a nation state without a government.
The government.
They are inseparable. It's impossible to have one without the other.
I think it's a mind trick that people do who really want to secede, who really want little to no government or self, like they should be anarchists, but they're patriots who want to go back to the, no, there's nothing to go back to. What you can go back to, man, Thomas Jefferson, you know, George Washington murdered war vets like 8 years after the war, man. That was the first president. Like, what do you want to go back to?
And he also ripped off his own men who were supposed to get like the spoils of war originally. Yeah. And he took the best land because he was a surveyor before he became a general.
Oh, yeah. Back then, if you just mapped it, you owned it.
Well, no, there was a huge allotment of land set aside for him and his soldiers.
For the surveyors. If you mapped it, you owned it back then. That was part of the law.
Well, no, I know this, but this was after this. This was when he was already a general. There was a bunch of land given to him and his soldiers that was supposed to be like part of their payment for their services. And he turned around and used his surveying skills to get all the good land and gave most of his soldiers stuff that was inhabitable.
Swamp.
Yeah.
The swamps.
Rocks.
Of Pennsylvania. Yeah, before they realized
great guy.
Oil under
great guy, that George.
Yeah. Before they realized that oil was good and not something that poisoned your water.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah.
So, Jeremy.
Yes, Michael.
Do you ever read letters to the editor in your local paper?
I don't read my local paper, so no.
I do. I get great entertainment from it. There's a paper here we call the Prairie Pravda. It's actually called Casper Tribune. Mm-hmm. Casper Star Tribune. But it's really lefty for a conservative town. And there was a letter to the editor telling why everyone needed to pay taxes.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
And it was saying, like, sales tax, even on, like, yard sales and person-to-person taxes. And they said that people needed to do this here because the economy's tanking because all the oil jobs have left. I think they just need to legalize marijuana. It's going to happen eventually, federally. And Wyoming is just resisting it. And, you know, I was joking about that they should legalize it and tax it like Colorado's done, but I'm really just kind of saying people here are so square they won't even do that, that half measure. But really, if they just legalized it without taxing it, the economy would vastly improve anyway. Can you give examples of why?
Why it would improve?
Yeah.
Well,
it would improve more, actually, if they didn't tax it. But
well, if they... See, the problem with taxing it is it just gives them more ammunition for other stuff. But
yeah. In Colorado, they part of the pot tax goes to more cops to bust meth people.
Well, exactly. But yeah. if you don't tax it, if you just decriminalize it and let people sell it, and, you know, there's plenty of people out there who would still want to feel safe in some regard. So if you decriminalize drugs, then people can then create services to test for said drugs to make sure they're the quality is good. And it just that right there creates a whole new economy in and of itself. And people
Kevin McKernan, our friend and Fiend fan, good friend of ours, has started a company that's the first company that genetically guarantees strains of marijuana to be what they say, like certifies them. And it's not a government.
Wow, board. That's awesome.
Yeah. And things like that are going to do well. And, you know, I mean, like, it wouldn't just be the pot people making money. It'd be like, you know, the people selling munchies to the pot people that come in from out of state.
Sure.
Everything. You know, the gas stations would do better. The car washes would do better. The people who make and sell plastic bags would be doing better. Everything would be better.
Yep. And if you take it one step further to hemp, then you got a whole other, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. Replace the oil industry. I mean, among other things.
Well, even if it doesn't replace it, even if it could just supplement it, like everything, and you know, all that stuff would be.
You build houses out of it.
Yeah, hemp is an amazing thing.
You can drive cars
and
build houses out of it. There's medicines that come from it. There, you know, you can make clothing out of it. You can make rope out of it. That's what Thomas Jefferson and Washington grew it for, was rope.
Yeah, it's one of the it's one of the strongest fibers in that regard, and it's
that's
really
why it got outlawed too. Was people that like Hearst, who had money in the lumber for paper industry, didn't want the competition.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of people that the hemp industry was going to step on their toes, so they had to make it illegal.
Yeah.
Which is so ridiculous, because there was literally no reason whatsoever other than that for hemp to be, you know, even if you want to play the silly game with the illicit drugs and cannabis, hemp has zero to do with that. So they had no justification whatsoever. They had to.
The Negroes smoke it and rape white women.
That's a misconception that I always thought too. No, the actual story was they said that that it actually makes the white women want to be with the Negroes and the Mexicans because they smoke it, and it make and then when the black men smoke it, it makes them more enticing to them, and it makes them want to do it. So, yeah, it was totally twisted.
And that's all
thinking.
True, but you know,
well,
ask any rapper.
Nothing wrong with that. Ask DJ Way.
Yeah, you there, Jeremy? We lose you.
Yeah, like I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I've taken exception. I take exception to a lot of things, but lately.
No, you?
Yeah, I do. You know what really grinds my gears? Well, first of all, is using the word government for anything other than something run by a state. Same with the word governance. I think that that's tricks by governments to get you to accept more government. And Jim Jesus falls prey to it. He calls, you know, except for government, like self-government, like I don't even think that's a word that should be used. I think government means rule by force, no matter in any situation. And another thing along that same line, I have a problem with the term decriminalization, with that term. It's unclear. Like, I hear you and Derek J and other people use, what happened to Derek J?
I have no idea.
Did he have a shoe shopping accident?
I think
a rack of shoes fell on him and he's trapped and he can't get out. He can't reach his phone to dial cell 411 because I'm his friend on there. I could, you know, I leave now. I could be there in 3 days.
That might not help him, unfortunately.
Yeah. Derek, we hope you're okay. But Yeah, decriminalization, like you and Derek mean it beyond legalization, because legalization generally means like taking away the penalty but taxing it and regulating it heavily, like in Colorado. But decriminalization, like what you guys mean, is like delisting it, like there's no laws about it.
Yes, we're talking.
And
yeah,
we say it's as free as tomatoes, but tomatoes aren't even that free. There's a lot of laws about tomatoes, but
this is true. But yes,
I think the word delisting would be better than decriminalization, or maybe something else, because decriminalization also means like making it a ticketable offense rather than a felony or misdemeanor.
Well, yeah, because that's
how the government uses this.
Well, yeah, that's a partial decriminalization, because that's what they've done to certain, and a bunch of states they've done that where they take.
Well, I would say decriminalization means making it less criminal than it is now, in the same way that anything below zero is sub-zero, no matter how far you go down. You
okay. Know? Well, I can understand
de-listed
that. So, okay.
De-listed. Well, it sounds delicious too.
You know? Yeah, but it's not as catchy though. I don't know. Maybe we can find something else. We'll have to work. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
But I feel you. I feel you.
Bipcot it.
Yes. There you go.
Bipcot your marijuana, peoples.
My cannabis is already bipcotted, so that's okay.
I don't have any because I don't like it. And although, you know, if it were legal, I'd probably have some just to have it.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's not for everybody.
You know, the same way that, like, you know, a recovering alcoholic will sometimes, if they're really strong in their recovery, will have some alcohol for, like, treating cuts and serving to gardeners and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Serving to their paid slaves, the little people.
Well, I guess that's some kind of willpower in that situation, huh? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about this murder in Wyoming.
Oh, gosh.
Is what this is all leading up to. Go ahead and read some of this, what happened in Douglas. Douglas is one town over from me. It's 40 miles away, but that's
one town
over in Wyoming. There's nothing between. Like, when you drive to Douglas from Casper, I mean, you see, like, four houses and 5,000 sheep and 5,000 cattle, and that's it. There's no people.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
All right, so this story is about, well, the headline is "Cops serve warrant on unarmed man at his dad's funeral and kill him in front of his entire family." So this happened, I guess, on Thursday. A guy named Scott Ramirez was at his father's funeral when he was shot and killed by undercover police officers, according to multiple eyewitnesses.
Federal police officers.
That comes in later. Well, no, because it says, yeah, according to multiple eyewitnesses and local police. So, the federal agent shot him.
And local police were there. Mm-hmm. And a state police, one of them there, state police's, hit an SUV responding to the call. Like, speed, you know, how they think they can speed with impunity. And I wouldn't be surprised if they charged the SUV driver with something, even though he was just a victim of a overzealous cop.
Well, yeah, and that part actually bugged me. And I think Diana actually said something about that, too, about the fact that the story, all the stories about him, except for the one in the Freethought Project, of course, when it talked about the accident, there was a lot of information about what happened to the cop. There was almost no information about what happened to the driver who the cop hit.
Yeah. That's how it always is in the state media.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, apparently this guy had warrants out for his arrest.
We don't
know. Oh, no.
Wait, we lost you. The government just censored you, I think. Are you there, Jeremy? Are you safe? Are you okay? You got censored.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
What was the warrant for? Yes.
From what I found, it wasn't specific, but it said he had multiple warrants for drug offenses.
All right.
So
it's not even actually a crime.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was going to be my point.
No victim, no crime.
Victimless crimes that he had warrants for, and this warranted them showing up at his funeral, at his father's funeral. And
murdering him.
And, yeah, exactly. Shooting him. I think they said...
Getting away with it. They'll get away with it.
Yeah, most witnesses seem to claim that they all heard between six and seven shots. I mean, yes, it's his family. Yes, it's at a funeral. But no, everybody said he was unarmed and he was just trying to get... He was getting in the passenger seat of a car. He wasn't even trying to drive to get away. He was getting in somebody else's car because he was at his dad's funeral. And he was, by most accounts, very, you know, uncommunicative and just wanted, you know, still kind of in shock type of deal. And, yeah, they just mowed him down. And it's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
So, like, here they are, this entire family at this, you know, at this funeral for a family member, and they watch another one murdered in front of them.
Ugh.
Like it's beyond like the normal BS of the state. Like this is just, I don't know. And unfortunately, they do this often. Apparently, they try to serve warrants at people's at funerals because
they
know
they bomb funerals in the Middle East. But you know what? In the Middle East, when the U.S. bombs a bunch of innocents to kill one guy they think is guilty, they often actually secretly like give the guy $100,000 cash. Did you know that? And they never
do
that
not.
In America. They don't pay blood money in America. They probably send the family, you know, a bill for the bullet here.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
they try to charge you for everything else, even when they do stuff to you. So, but so I mean, and there was one woman who said like she got there late, and she actually saw a lot of like there were the officers. They had officers everywhere. And she thought it kind of was weird, and then by the time she went to go try to talk to him about it, that's when she heard the shots, and, you know, it was too late. But.
Wow.
State's horrible. Leave
yeah,
it, people.
Horrible.
Vacate.
We'll be back with some good redemption in the third act, if we can find any.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Radio, and I'm mad as I'm cranky as heck, and I'm not gonna, and I'm probably gonna keep taking it and talking about it.
Probably.
So, Diana was saying that this murder by the feds and state by the police by some police in Douglas at a funeral, that they talked more about the the cop who hit a SUV. On the way there, I'm looking at the Prairie Pravda website, the local paper here, Casper Star Tribune. The article, update, shooting at Douglas Church Highway Patrol accident on way to assist. Like, it says, the Wyoming Highway Patrol says the trooper involved in the accident. Like, the first four paragraphs talk all about the trooper, and way down in the article, it's like, oh yeah, and the people that he hit also went to the hospital.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I think the one, at least two of the articles I read, Joel said was the driver was treated and released.
Yeah. That was so it. We want to talk about happy stuff. So I thought that like I heard this crash at the end of the last segment. I ran and checked it out. I thought like you know people were listening to the show and didn't like me denigrating July 4th or the police or the state that keeps them safe and free and really doesn't do either. So I thought someone was throwing bricks at my house, but it was actually a cat as thing, you know, it was a cat. It knocked over a trash can, metal trash can. It was like, it was a hellacious noise, but it was a cat playing with a little, what is it, DJ? What kind of toy?
A platypus,
a little felt platypus filled with kitty nip. So July 4th, in addition to people who aren't free celebrating their freedom, you know, I heard a comedian talk about that. He was Australian, and he's like, you know, I get a lot of complaints. People say, you're not from here. You shouldn't complain. And he's like, that never stopped Americans. You know, he's like, I've never been at a party in London or Adelaide, Australia. and heard one, there's one American at the party, and I've never heard him saying, boy, that chap, that American chap, sure doesn't have much of an opinion. He sure is being quiet over there. And it's like, no, American, we're the loudest people in the world. We always are. No matter where we are, we give our opinions. And he also said, like, you know, how can you claim to be the freest country in the world when you have the highest incarceration rate? 1% of American adults are in prison at any given time. The second country for that is South America, and they're a really messed up country.
South America's not a country.
South Africa, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, South Africa. Thank you.
Yeah, they're pretty messed up.
Yep, they're pretty messed up. And that's why cell 411 is more popular there than anywhere, because if you call the police in South Africa, they literally show up and murder you and bill your family for the bullet.
Yeah.
All the time, most of the time. People don't call the police there. Like, even law-abiding, like, I love my country. Like, people, they don't call the police there.
No.
Most of the world doesn't. Most of the world won't call the police because they know better. But, So, in Amsterdam, you could have sex with a hooker while smoking a joint in front of a cop. He said that should really be called the freest country in the world. Like, in America, he said, you can't have sex with a prostitute unless you film it and put it on the internet for money. How weird is that?
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So July 4th, other than being the time when people who aren't free jump around and blow things up and pretend they're free, it's also the thing that scares our pets. And as pet owners, we don't like it. So I have some new cats. What advice for me as Beastmaster of the Freedom Fiends, Jeremy, do you have for me for my new cats? One of them is 9 months old. He's never had a 4th of July.
Well,
how am I going to keep him happy?
Cats aren't usually too much of an issue.
They don't even notice.
Have your cat? Because my cats never seem to care. Dogs are more of an issue. I deal with that a lot.
Yeah,
and a lot of dogs get freaked out by loud sounds. They're sound sensitive. So fireworks, thunder, large trucks rumbling by, stuff like that can freak dogs out. But I've found there's a couple of different things you can do depending on how old your dog is, how many times. Opium is always a good option for just about anything. But aside from that,
do a teething. Yeah, used to be.
No. That's whiskey.
Whiskey was laudanum. They used to give kids opium drops for teething. It worked.
So, oh, I don't know. I used to rub it on my. I used to have it rubbed on my gums. Anyway, for teething, but for the dogs, there's a couple different routes you can go. They make these wonderful things called thunder shirts
for the concealed carry dogs for their pistol.
But you can actually get it for they're for dogs who have anxiety because of sound issues.
It holds
calms
them tight,
them,
right? It's like
it calms them,
hugs them.
You can also try to desensitize them to it. I've done that in the past. I had a dog
by firing guns at random.
No. I had a dog that came here for years for 4th of July, and I would just take him outside every year, little by little, and stay with him
like
and hang out with
shots.
Him. Yeah, as a desensitization. Yeah. And it's, as a last resort, they do have drugs. They have sedatives and stuff that you can take that are not too harmful. And you give it to him like an hour before you know the fireworks are going to start. And it keeps him chill.
Worms.